Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello and welcome back to the Happiness Hangout podcast, where we talk all about how to shift your mindset to get you closer to your dream life. My name is Katie. I am a certified life coach and someone who is so passionate about helping others reach their full potential. Today, I am here with Julia Mazur, the host of the Pretty Much Done podcast. I love Julia's podcast, the wisdom she shares, and just like her fresh perspective on being single. Thank you so much for coming on here today, Julia.
Thank you for having me on. It's such a nice way to reconnect.
Yes, definitely. Me and Julia go a few months back, and we honestly had a few connections, and I feel like we were just genuinely meant to meet. So it's just like a very full circle moment to have her on here. But before we get into all this, I'd love just like to tell for you to tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and just like your podcast.
Yeah, for sure. I feel the same way. I think that like when you start doing the work, you start meeting like-minded people and nothing is a coincidence. So I felt that same way when I met you. But to give everyone a little bit of background around me and my podcast. So my podcast is called Pretty Much Done, and it's really for people to help relieve the shame and stigma around being single. I was someone who grew up as a Russian Jewish girl and was kind of told, get married, have kids, live this white picket fence life. And I basically spent the entire decade of my 20s trying to accomplish that goal. I was basically on dating apps to try and find a husband, to try and find this guy to buy a house with, have kids with, you know, have like this bougie car to drive around LA. And when I would get into these good on paper relationships, I found myself really unfulfilled and kind of lonely. And I had to really take stock of that. And I had to readdress so much of what I was trying to find in this other person and realize that so much of that lied within me, and I needed to kind of rediscover myself and rediscover what I wanted. And as I went on that journey of uncovering that, I realized that life was going to look a lot different than I expected. I love to move. I've moved 3 times in the past decade. I love to travel. I love to meet new people. I really value my female friendships. I value my alone time. And so I realized that so many people, because society prescribes these timelines and these milestones and says, get married, have kids. You know, if you're a woman who doesn't get married by the time you're 30, you're spoiled and your eggs are sand or whatever. I realized that so many people were on this similar journey. And I thought that if I can share and have people on every week how to get more in tune with yourself, I hope to inspire people to shut down and shut out that societal noise and pressure and really enjoy life on their own terms.
Yeah, it's like so amazing to hear too. And I think so many of us, it's like this, what part of it is what I actually want and what part of it is what I'm supposed to want and what's like the timeline I'm supposed to be on. And because of that, so many people get into these relationships and they're like not fulfilled. And instead of coming out of a place of like, I want to be in this relationship, it's like, I feel like I have to be in this relationship or this is like how I'm supposed to be living my life.
Yeah. And it's like not anyone's fault. It's societal conditioning. It's kind of what we hear around us. But I do think that there is a point where you kind of can no longer live this lie. And you're like, I can only stomach this for so long, because at the end of the day, like the only person that we're going to be with for the rest of our lives is truly ourselves, unless we have kids. But like really, like the relationship we have with ourselves is so paramount. And so you can only fake it for so long.
Definitely. And I think it's also about like feeling that fulfillment within yourself. And when you don't feel it, it's like you don't feel good doing anything else in your life. And I felt that like just with friendships, with career, like everything, when I don't feel good within myself, I'm like, wait, nothing is actually going right in my life right now.
I know. Yeah, in career too, it's like sometimes it's a band-aid you put on. And I was pursuing this tech career because I didn't want to be a doctor or a lawyer, which was another like Jewish prescribed career path for me. And I had this career in tech and I really loved it, but I realized that I worked at Tinder for 5.5 years. What I liked about tech was like the dating aspect of it. And so I love talking to people about dating and relationships. And it was so hard to tell my parents that I was going to leave this tech career to start creating a podcast and coaching women and creating content related to dating, because I was so measured by those also superficial stereotypes of like tech boss, girl boss. And there was a lot of like grieving and shame that came with it. But I realized that in order to kind of make myself happy, I didn't want to sit at a 9-to-5 and fake it anymore.
Definitely. What like advice would you give to people just who are like trying to enjoy this season of their life and just like the first step to like really embracing like where you're at and not trying to like force yourself to be somewhere else?
There's a lot of things that come to mind, but I guess my first one for people is I would recommend that people go. This is pretty prescriptive, but I would be like, okay, I want you to go sit in a park. I want you to go sit in a public place by yourself. And I want you to write down 5 to 10 things that you want to accomplish in the next decade. Like truly, even if they're crazy goals, but things that you deep down want inside. Like when I had done this exercise with myself, I wrote, I want to be a New York Times bestseller. And I realized that I never wrote anything like other than my journal entries. And it came to me, I was like, okay, well, I want to be a writer. I want to write books. Why am I diminishing that part of myself and not, you know, practicing that? And so now I've started like a Substack and it's really hard. But I think that when you sit with your journal and you can be super honest, what comes out is kind of unfiltered and you can start getting in touch with what is it that I really want. And it's okay. Like if you feel like it's not aligned with how you're living your life now, it's totally fine. I know that that's going to feel overwhelming. You don't have to take steps. I'm just saying like get out your desires so that it can plant the seed and start resonating with you of like, am I really doing what I want to be doing in my life?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of us kind of push those away too. And we're like, this is the path that I'm supposed to be on. I'm this age, I have to be doing this thing. And then we get into this whole entire comparison trap of like, oh my God, everyone's doing this right now. I should be over there. And we end up just feeling so bad about ourselves, then pushing all these desires away. And then you wait a couple of years and you're like, if I just started this like a year ago or 2 years ago, I would have been at least a little bit farther along.
I know. And you and I kind of when we chatted, like you had this similar thing and you're a little younger than I am. And I was like, I can't believe you feel that you're behind in life when I feel I'm behind in life at 31. And so it truly like invades our minds no matter where we're at. And I think about you and, you know, you also grew up in a Persian Jewish culture, which I'm sure didn't understand what you're doing on social media for so long. And I wonder how you overcame that yourself.
Yeah, I think for me, a lot of it was, I'm like very lucky. My parents are so supportive around like self-improvement. And I didn't realize how uncommon that was, honestly, until like I got older. Like, wait, that many people aren't into self-improvement? Like, it's kind of like the weird thing to be doing. Like, I remember I watched The Secret when I was 13 years old and I was like, oh my God, this is insane. Like, we can actually attract the things that we want into our life. But then you start talking to people about it and some people are like, that's like crazy talk. Like, what are you talking? That's woo-woo. And so it's like really being able to be like, what do I want? And then I also think like all of our desires, like, are so different from one another, even if like we're both on this self-improvement journey, we both want to be helping people, for example, but the work that we want to be helping people with is so different and unique. And then I look at the other people in my life, like my friends that are becoming doctors or my friends that are doing like becoming lawyers. And I'm like, okay, we all have these random weird desires put into us. And it would be such a shame to not be like going for these things and be letting other people down by not going for it.
On a more spiritual level, like I do think that we're born with these skill sets. And if we're able to tap into them, like we were put on this earth for a reason. And I know that sounds pretty woo-woo, but I believe that anyone who finds themselves helping people and in this coaching world or doctor or any kind of healing modality, like, was born meant to be a healer. And you can ignore it all you want, but it'll always be there. And so I urge anyone who kind of feels this calling to at least tap into it. And it doesn't have to be like your full, you don't have to be me who like quit their corporate tech job and then all of a sudden became a social media personality. If you feel like you have this ability to create art, I have no ability to create art. Like, I literally just, my sister got it all. You know, she went to art school. Like, she is so creative in that way. But if you are someone who has that, take a pottery class. Like, kind of exert those talents and see what comes of it so that you're not stifling it because you're afraid of what people will think. If you're going to live your life thinking about like what people are going to think of you, you're doing yourself a disservice. And I know that because I spent like 10 years, more than that. I spent so much time in my life worrying what people will think, and still creeps up. I'm not perfect. It still definitely creeps up for me.
Yeah, I think it's human nature to always have that a little bit of that inkling of like, what are people going to think about this? Are people going to judge me? Am I not going to get married because of this? Am I not going to have friends? Because like all of those like negative thoughts come up. But then you're like, okay, one, the people who are meant to be in your life will always be in your life. Two, like, I have talked to people who are in their 50s and 60s and regret not going for the things that they want to go for because they were afraid of like what people would think, or they were just like, I have to go down this path. And I think for me, like, that fear is so much more like big than this fear of, oh, are people going to judge me? Are they not going to like me? Am I not going to find the right people in my life because of it? Which also, I think if you are yourself, you always will find the right people when the time is like right for that to come in.
Yeah, my two thoughts with that. The first is that I think that like the more that I've tapped into myself and like become more myself, as you said, like I've attracted people in my life who appreciate those things about me, and they kind of reflect those things about me. So like friends that I have now are a little bit more spiritual or a little bit more thoughtful, or even like maybe people would think like we're a little cringe because we create content on the internet. But like, I think in my mind, it's like we're comfortable enough with ourselves. And so you sort of start to make room for those people to enter your life. I'm not of the belief that people say like, oh, people don't talk about you as much as you think that they do. I think people talk about you. Honestly, I think people love to gossip. I know, like, I've heard that people talk about me and my cringy content and whatever, but I just don't think that, like, allowing it to permeate your psyche and stop you from doing what you're doing is a useful tool for you. My therapist asked me a reframe, and I always ask myself this whenever I'm kind of going down like a really unhealthy negative thought spiral: what function does it serve you? Like, whenever, I don't know, you break up with someone and then you start stalking their Instagram or you start stalking like who they're dating, I ask myself, like, what function is this serving me? It's like, it's serving my lower vibrational self who wants to compare herself and think that she's not worthy of love. That's what function it's serving me. So I always urge people to kind of ask themselves that question when they're engaging in unhealthy things like worrying what people are saying about them.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Yeah, people do gossip. It's part of life. It's like, but it's also realizing that people gossip because like they want to feel that connection with other people. And it's like, if you're in a room of people and no one has anything to say, you will find someone automatically bringing gossip up or complaining about something, like just very low vibrational things. But I've also realized, even in myself, like when I'm feeling good about myself, like I am going to like feel a more positive outlook out there. And so like the same with other people. And it's like, you see what, like you see other people in yourself. And so when I am judging other people, I'm like, wait a minute, like, what does this say about me? And how does this judge myself? Or like when I'm posting this cringy content, maybe to some people, and like other people are seeing that and judging it, it's like, okay, what would that have to say about them? And I think like that's a really fun reframe. And even if it isn't true, it always makes me feel like a little bit better, because I'm like, well, would they be able to be doing this right now too? And how would they feel about themselves like going for this?
Yeah, I mean, with content, I know not everyone can relate to it, but I guess with like putting yourself out there in any way or doing things that scare you, like I always think about that video. I don't know if you've seen it, but like you do have to climb Cringe Mountain to get to the other side. Like you don't get to the other side without climbing it. It's going to be hard and scary at first, but then I always like I think about the people who have been successful. They had to climb Cringe Mountain.
Yeah, and it's honestly fun mountain to climb when you're just like, this is fun. Like, I'm just like lip singing in front of a camera and like adding text on top of this. And this might be Cringe Mountain to some people, but I'm like, it's like fun.
Yeah, I know. I've had ex-boyfriends like be like, oh, all my friends are like sending me your content. So cringy. And I swear every time they've done that, like something has popped off for me. I'm like, okay.
You're like, thank you. I literally was on a date with a guy once. And he was like looking at my Instagram. He's like, oh, it's like cute, but it's a little cringe. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. This is like,
really?
I think the next thing that I wanted to get into too is just like how to redefine this. I guess we kind of went over this, but like redefining this as a time of like growth rather than like a waiting period.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto parts.
Yeah. So I think that like, what happened for me when I turned 30, I think, I don't know if a lot of women have this number 30 in their minds of this is when I need to get it all, have it all figured out. But that was the case for me. And I do think a lot of women use that as a benchmark of this is when I, you know, really want to have it all figured out. I want to have my husband, my kids. Once I turned 30, I felt this immediate freedom because I was like, well, I didn't do that. I didn't accomplish the marriage and the kids and the husband. So now I feel free because I get to live life on my own terms now that I haven't created these stupid benchmarks for myself. So I started to do things and pour into myself in ways that I wasn't addressing before. I realized that I felt very stagnant living in LA. I was born and raised there. I hadn't moved in a long time. And I thought, I kind of want to see what another city's like. And I had been visiting Austin for a while. And my best friend moved there. And I kind of put this like little signal out to the universe that I'm interested in Austin. Saw one, you know, like house listing on Zillow, wrote to them because their place was a little bit out of my budget. I kind of gave them the spiel about myself. I said, you know, I'm super responsible. I own my place in LA. Like, I would love to live in at your place, but is there flexibility on the price? And they ended up getting back to me and telling me that there wasn't flexibility on the price, but they listed their place because they wanted to move to LA. And so we ended up switching houses. And I do find that like whenever you kind of put this thing out into the universe and ask the universe, like, can you just show me a sign that like this is where the path that I'm meant to be on, it really reciprocates and there is power in using your voice. So I moved to Austin. I realized I was dissatisfied at my corporate job. I had savings and this is kind of like why I had savings. You know, I realized that when I ever going to be able to get to do this again. I had to leave my corporate job because I moved. And so I decided I'm going to go full time with the podcast. I started dating events and I've had hundreds of people come to my dating events. I started making friends and reaching out to people and going on dates and traveling and pouring into myself in ways that I wasn't doing because I was sitting around and waiting for this man. Like I used to think, well, okay, my parents live in LA and if we have kids, like my parents are going to need to babysit our kids and I can't leave LA because my husband needs to be in LA. It's crazy. Like, it's crazy. I was putting my life on hold. And now that I feel more fulfilled, I feel more confident in who I am. And it's almost like, you know how we were talking about like the people who talk behind your back. I'm so busy with enjoying my life that I don't have time to feel sorry for myself, if that makes sense. And I think that pouring into yourself is like the best way to do that. Like you make yourself so busy enjoying your life that you're not this woe is me girl. And now I've deleted dating apps 4 months ago and like it's been the most freeing experience because I'm so busy and going out. I'm just meeting people organically. And I'm not sitting on this dating app being like, please, is my husband one swipe away? Like, where is he? I don't know. I that's my formula that I've created. I have like no other explanation for it other than I finally am starting to do things that I like and resonate with my soul.
Yeah, it's like pouring into yourself and just doing the things that bring you joy, even like having that list of like, what do I want to do right now? And how can I start working towards that? Because there's so much more to life than just automatically being in that relationship. I think it's like so important to remember.
Yeah, and I think about some of my married friends, you know, who have kids and are at different stages of their lives. Like, they'll never get to experience. I mean, not never, but like for the most part, there are sometimes I meet a girl and she becomes my best friend. Like, this happened to me. You know, the person who is one of my closest friends right now, I DM'd her to come on my podcast. And 2 years later, we've become the closest of friends. And my married friends just don't have that opportunity to foster and nurture a relationship with a new girlfriend and have those feelings of that spark you feel when you go to, you know, drinks with a girl and you guys just bond over the point of your lives. Or I now am thinking like I might want to move to New York. And my married friend, they can't think in that way. So like, this is a privilege that I get to be in this stage of my life, and it would be a shame. And I know getting to this point is hard, but I'm someone who I didn't think I could get to this point. So I'm saying this from that perspective, but it would be a shame to really miss out on getting to enjoy this life, you know, experience that I'm in because I thought I didn't meet where society thought I should be. You know, like who am I trying to impress at that point? Just what function does that serve me?
Yeah, it's in the end, like at the end of the day, you're the one who has to deal with that. Like, you're the one who's going to be living the life that you're living. And we think that we're like, oh, life is so short. I don't have the time to like do all the things that I want to do. Or like, I have to just get to these milestones immediately because life's short. But it's like, no, life is long in like the best way possible. And we have the time to like do all the things that we want to do. And there is no rush to get to this like destination that it's just like a made up destination, whether it's like relationships, career, like all these things. It's really remembering that like every single one of these seasons like has so much beauty within it. And if you're constantly trying to get to that next season, constantly being like, when is that going to come for me? You miss out on like every single other thing that could be happening in your life right now.
Yeah, I think where I've become, where I'm at with it, and like it's hard because sometimes right now for me, like with my career, I'm waiting for this moment where I'm going to pop and like I can make as much money as I did in tech. Like that for me is my gauge. But where I'm at with it and where I really try to be is I try to surrender to the fact that the universe is like has my back and wants me to succeed. And, you know, I was talking to a friend a couple nights ago and I was telling him the podcast isn't really where I want it to be. And he encouraged me. He said, you should look for a sign. You should ask the universe for a sign or a pray or whatever kind of modality that you're into. And so we were talking about it and I hadn't even done that. But I got home and I met someone like a month ago just in passing. And we were talking about what I do. He wrote to me randomly out of the blue. He sent me a text message that night and he said, hey, I was thinking about you and I just wanted to let you know that I think you should continue doing what you're doing with the podcast. I think that what you're doing is amazing and you need to keep going.
Wait, that's like insane. I just got like teary-eyed about it because I think it's like the most beautiful thing too, that it's like the universe really, really has your back. And it's so easy, especially in this work that we're doing, or like anything else, like to get discouraged and be like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I wasting my time right now? Like all of those like negative thoughts come up, the self-doubt, like whatever anyone's pursuing, it's so easy for that to come up. But you have no idea, like people who are admiring you even, and like the fact that someone was just thinking of you and like the universe was like, this is the time, let's send the message out now so that she knows to keep going.
I know. And I don't take that for granted. And something that when it comes to dating, one of my best friends and I say all the time is, you are one day away from your next crush. Like you truly are. And I know that feels vague, and but I think crushes are what keep us alive in dating, and you really, really never know.
Yeah, they really do. It makes life more fun.
Yeah.
Something else that I love that you talk about on your page too are just like solo dates and doing more alone. And as someone who I'm growing with it, like I used to be actually terrified of going to coffee shops alone and doing work even. Like that was like where we started, and I'm slowly growing. But I feel like a lot of people struggle with that. Like what advice would you give to someone who's like trying to build their confidence in doing that?
Well, I think that that is one of the things that single-handedly built my confidence. And I am someone who was 80 pounds heavier. I lost 80 pounds. I used to be heavily overweight. And so I struggled with my confidence like throughout all of my 20s. And the person that I am today is extremely confident. So like people meet me and they're always like, you're so confident. I'm like, you should have seen where I was working from before. But I think that solo dates have really, really improved my confidence. And I know that for someone like you, and I talk to people who are introverted, who it's a lot harder for. So I don't want to come off as like prescriptive to someone who's like, that sounds so scary. But my advice is to do it almost like you're doing a workout and to like flex that muscle. And if that means you're literally going to a coffee shop and you're sitting at the counter for 10 to 20 minutes, you're sitting at the counter for 10 to 20 minutes. If it means you bring a blanket to a park and you are just reading alone in a park for 10 to 20 minutes, that's what you do. But I do think that that alone time, and then I guess like I kind of want to like encourage people that when you do that, where I want people to be with it is I want you to not be on your phone. You can be for sure. And like, it's always available to you, but to just say like, hi to someone. That is like my goal with everyone for the solo dates. And that can be as easy. And sometimes I go on solo dates and like only talk to one person, and that's my bartender or my waiter. And I'm just like, hey, this is what I want to order. How's your day? And that's it. And then I go home and I'm like, well, at least I talked to a human, because especially as a single woman who like lives alone, and I think a lot of single people don't see people all day, you need human interaction or else you go a little bit crazy. But I'm telling you, like, it's how I've met the most amount of people. I went to a solo concert. I went to 2 solo concerts recently, and solo concerts were scary to me because I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna be the freak alone at a concert. I highly recommend concerts where it's not like assigned seating and it's more of like a pit situation. But the 2 last concerts I went to alone, I met a guy, like both concerts. And it was the thing that I was most afraid of. And I think that the goal is to just like say hello to someone, like look at someone and say hello. I also, the first one that I went to, girls were coming up to me and they were just like, you look so beautiful. And I don't even think it was like my looks. I really think it was they were looking at me like, whoa, this girl is confident enough to be alone. Like, she's beautiful. And it was so nice. It made my day. And how can you not feel confident after that?
Yeah, 100%. It also feels so good to like look back. Like, I'm still growing with it, but I'm like, wait, there was a period of time when I could barely even like walk into a workout class alone. Like, that was the scariest thing for me. And I'm like doing that all the time now. And so it feels so good to be able to look back and be like, I've been getting out of my comfort zone. Like, it's all just growth, and feels amazing once you're able to like just take that first step.
Yeah, honestly, workout classes are very intimidating. That one is so hard because you have all these like cute fit girls in sets, and like your first one where you don't know what you're doing. That one's pretty intimidating. Somehow I think like a bar or a coffee shop is a lot easier for it.
Yeah, I guess it's just like, but that's also like just goes to show too, like once you do that one thing, it's like in your comfort zone and you're like, oh, this is so easy. But anytime like anyone's starting anything, whatever it is, it's like, this is the scariest thing ever. I've never done this before, which is like literally what, like it's like so general, but anytime you're doing anything new for the first time, it's scary until you do it. So whether that's like a hobby or going on a solo date.
That's what I mean is like, I'm like, go on one a week or go on 2 a month. And then it just becomes easier and easier. And then you get so bored that you've done it so many times that you're like, okay, I'm going to talk to people now. And then, you know, and it becomes second nature.
The last thing that I wanted us to just like talk about too is just like dealing with comparison and like how to manage that a little bit better.
Yeah, this is something that I recently made a video on this, and it's something I struggle with myself. So, I mean, we could talk it through, but I don't think we've ever had this much access to other people. And I don't think that it's that healthy for us, honestly, because I get on social and I see a girl thriving living in London, or I see a girl thriving living in New York, or I see that a girl met a guy on a plane, and I'm like, why? Do I want to live in London? Do I want to live in New York? Should I be traveling in more planes? Why have I've never even seen a cute guy on a plane. Like, what is going on? So that is definitely real. And I would just like be remiss to say that don't compare yourself. It's real. But I think that what maybe like gives me some peace in my mind, this is pretty spiritual, but I like to think that like the path's already written. It's already like, it's kind of already written. The things that I meant to accomplish, my purpose in life, all of the things are already happening for me. The universe is on my side to bring it forward. So all I can really do is enjoy the journey and like put one foot in front of the other and do the things that fill my cup as much as possible. Does that mean that some Sundays I'm sad and lonely and wondering why hasn't, you know, the fame popped off for me, or am I making the right decisions and I have my spirals? Sure. But you have those spirals and then you move on and you put one foot in front of the other and know that like we're all kind of collectively going through it. And I think that what helps is like having people around you who are going through similar life stages. I think that being like the friend with all the married couples having baby, like it's not healthy to put yourself in that situation. Having like-minded people around you is a lot easier to cope.
100%. And we're all just like adding off of that too, is just like remembering that we're all on our own journeys and paths. And I look like at people in my life who like cousins, relatives, like friends who like were single for like longer in their life than they thought they'd be. And then they are now like happily married with the best person, the best match. And had that happened earlier, you wouldn't have been with the right person. It wouldn't have been the right timeline for them at all. And it's really just like remembering that things will happen at the right time for each and every one of us. And so, of course, it's easy to like compare. And it's normal and healthy, I think, to recognize when we're comparing and be like, not try to like shut it down and be like, no, I feel great. Life's great. Everything's fine. Like, it's important to let ourselves feel our feelings, but also at the same time recognize that like it's all working out how it's like meant to work out for us.
Yeah, I really like the mantra. It's either this or something better. And yeah, I think about, I'm not someone who like lives in like, oh, the one that got away, or I wish things had worked out. Like it, I don't know about you, but the older I've gotten, like it's only gotten better. I think I've only gotten prettier. I've only gotten smarter. I've only gotten more confident. I have like leveled up my friendships and the people around me. My relationship with my family has like, it's the best it's ever been. So I only want to meet people as I'm getting better, you know?
Like I could not relate to that. Like it's so, I can't relate to that more because it's like, it's just so accurate. And I'm like the person that I would have been with 2 years ago or attracted 2 years ago, like I don't want anything to do with them right now. Yeah. And it's like, we really just are constantly growing. And I'm like, okay, life's just, I'm like so happy with how much better life has gotten. And it's like, naturally, that means that you're just going to start attracting like better things into your life.
Yeah. And obviously, like the goal is when you find a partner that you grow together. And I'm not saying that like you can't grow, but I'm very grateful that I was given this opportunity to grow and focus on myself. Like this is the most selfish I ever get to be. And that's an amazing privilege. And I think about our parents' generation, like they don't understand because like they weren't given the same privilege. They were like, survive. You know, my parents were immigrants. It was like survive and do this. And I have this privilege of being like, what fulfills me? What makes me happy? And I don't want to take that for granted.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful way to see it.
Thank you.
And then ending this off, is there any like last piece of advice that you'd want to share with the listeners here?
It's always this or something better. Like that's always my piece of advice. I guess like more tangibly, I think what's really helped me sit with myself and enjoy my time with myself is journaling is something that's like become a really nice release for me. And I'm still on like a shaky relationship with meditation. I don't always do it consistently, but I do find that whenever I do it, my day is so much better. And shameless plug, but like I love Open. I love their platform. I love how it is. I love the instructors on there. And it literally is just 10 minutes of guided meditation a day. And for people who are always like on their phones, on the go, trying to like get away from themselves, it's really helped my life.
I think meditation's a big one for me too. And it's funny because so much of the time we're like, I don't have the time to do this. Like, meanwhile, I'm scrolling on TikTok for an hour. Like, I can make 10 minutes out of my day to meditate.
Yeah. I used to try and do it in the mornings, and now I've become a night meditator. And I'm like, great. Like, usher me into sleep.
Yes. As long as we're doing it, that's what matters.
Totally.
And then can you let everyone know where they can find you too?
Yeah, of course. So the podcast is called Pretty Much Done. I have a bunch of interviews and episodes on there. I think everyone will love them. And then on TikTok and Instagram, my handle is PMDPOD, PMD Pod.
Perfect. And I'll put that in the description too for everyone else to find it. Thank you so much for coming on here today, Julia.
Thank you for having me. This was such a pleasure.
I loved it. And thank you all so much for listening today. And we will chat in the next episodes.